You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardner, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
You hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced that I have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out of the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his stylish knee, and we're talking moccasin and joke. Well, the party they're gonna have out in the St. John's Swamps. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and they called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Let's go. All right. Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Boy, you've had a couple of about a month's worth of Sundays all at one time here.
Well, I'll tell you the truth. It hasn't stopped.
I know.
It's been a merry, merry, merry-go-round for me.
I know.
And you know what, Billy?
Yeah.
It's been wonderful. I can't complain, you know? There's a few hiccups now and then, a few bumps in the road, but you know what? You know our motto. We go under, over, around, or through, and we make it happen, buddy. And that's
well,
what it's
been
all
happening.
About. That's what it's all about. Hey, listen, Happy New Year to you. Happy New Year to everybody around the globe. please forgive me. I've been tardy. I've been absent. I've been gone. I've been doing, as they say, out in the streets. I've been taking care of business.
And you've been
and
sick.
And business has been good to me. You know, as they say, baseball has been very, very good to me, and I can't complain. Because I'm on this side of the dirt, if you know what I mean. And as you know, Bill, I Well, you know, but the rest of the world don't know, and sometimes I'm sitting there talking in rhymes and riddles. But Sci-Fi Channel, ladies and gentlemen, came out and filmed me yesterday. Sci-Fi, S-Y-F-Y. And I'll tell you what, I happen to know one of the big bosses up there. He's a good boy. And look for this thing coming out in April. And if things go the way we think they're going to go, you're going to be seeing a lot more of Tom Biscardi and his boys and his team, his real team, the A-team, as they say it. But what's been going on, son? Talk to me, Billy.
Well, by golly, I'll tell you, it's been a hot week here. Just before the show, I got two calls from South Carolina on the Bigfoot Hotline, and I got them to call me back after the show so they can get the information. We've had actually for this time of the year, quite a bit of activity in different areas, in some of the different areas there, and we've had some of the people come back on pretty much on almost a weekly or biweekly report or bimonthly report on what's going on. There's so many, emails left and right with different sightings and or different questions and things that have taken place here on the show. In fact, what we did, we changed the format of the show tonight and last week a little differently. At the end of the show, we have a little discussion period of about 10 minutes with all the guests so that they can ask questions. And so it's been a pretty good month.
Well, that's great. That's great. I'm glad to see that you guys are staying busy and making it interesting for everybody around the globe. I want to make a few announcements. Number one, has anybody out there seen our new website, searchingforbigfoot.com? I want some comments. Take a look. Is it easy to navigate now? Does it look sexy? Does it look jazzed up? Is it easy to get to, and is it more informative? I need to have all those questions answered, ladies and gentlemen. So would you be kind enough to get some feedback to me? I'd like to really hear about it. And I'd kind of take pride in what we do, as you know. And we've got our bevy of movies up right on top where you can see them all and a little briefing on each one. And you want to order them now, it's easier than hell to get it done. And I got to tell you, there's going to be some hoopla about Hoax of the Century. So you look in the next 3-5 days, there's going to be a big press release on that thing. And rightfully so. Those of you who've not seen it, wow, get it, and you'll know what I'm talking about. First time ever, these people have come on film collectively and told their stories. And I got to tell you, you know, the guy that wrote the book, Greg Long, he was on the horn with me today, and he says, you know what, Tom? I'm mad as hell and ain't going to take it no more. And I'm coming out and I'm going to tell the world about it. I said, well, good for you, Greg. I'm behind you. He's this guy that outed Patterson in the beginning. Everybody thought he was full of crap and all that bullshit. This guy's so dead on, it's pathetic. And in the movie, you'll see the arrest warrant for Patterson, and you'll hear the nitty-gritty behind the scenes. This is the real dope, man. I'm telling you, you better, if you don't have this in your collection, go out and get it. Don't run, don't walk, run. Get it, okay? The easy way of doing it is let your fingers do the walking. Go to searchingforbigfoot.com and order it today, and you'll have it by the weekend, I'm sure. And you'll have a ball viewing it, and then you call me up and tell me what you think. But we got that. That's going to be a big thing going out, and there's going to be big discussions all over the world on that. In addition to that, towards the end of the month, our new project, we'll be announcing it. Remember this name. It's called Pursuit. The Search for Bigfoot. There's going to be some stuff in this movie. This is we've gone over the realm on this. You're going to be seeing some reality stuff in this one that you've never seen before, never heard before. Well, I take it back. You've heard about it, but you've never seen it on the screen.
Yeah, Tom, that was a lady that called in from the swap meet. Remember?
The lady that called in from the swap meet. Refresh my memory.
She found a journal and some stuff in the swap meet.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
I've been getting all kinds of emails and questions about that.
Oh, is that right? Yeah, okay.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. I remember one in particular, yeah. Well, this is the one we're talking about. This is that woman who found Ivan's old journal out of swap meet and his cameras and stuff. And we went out searching and finding and interviewing these people. Well, some of those people are pretty incredible in the stories that they tell and the things that what happened. Wow. And I'm not going to tell you anymore, but towards the end of the month, I'm sure when you get it all done, we'll go into it in depth. Let's see who we got as our first guest here tonight.
Thomas.
I want to talk to Jimmy back there from New York. He's going to talk
about
Big Encounter again. Hi, Jimmy, you out there?
Yes, sir.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
Good, good. Why don't you tell us your story?
Okay, so back last week, about Monday, I was driving down Route 12 past the graveyard in a big old yellow house. Past the graveyard, I looked over, just to look, like most people would do, and I saw a big figure walk into the woods, just run. And it was huge. I mean, huge. Furry. And I almost pooped my pants right on the spot.
What do you do for a living, Jim? Or do you go to school?
I'm a construction worker.
You're a construction worker. Okay. What time of the night or day did you see this creature?
About, I would say, 4:30.
So was it still light out?
Just a tiny bit.
Okay, all right. What went through your mind when you saw this thing?
I was terrified. I thought it was going to eat something. And my dog's been missing for about a week. I'm tired. And I didn't know what happened. So I didn't know if that thing ate it or if it was just ran away.
Did you call the authorities or anybody?
Well, I just looked up the Bigfoot website and called the next day.
So why don't you describe to me what you actually saw?
I saw about an 8-foot tall figure, really furry, like hairy like an ape.
Did you get a chance to see its face?
No, sir.
Okay. Did it walk upright like a man?
Yes, sir.
What color hair was it?
It was like a dark, really dark, like kind of black, really dark brown. Couldn't really see. I was kind of far out.
Okay. All right. Did it swing its arms?
I could not tell. It was just running real fast. Kind of looked like it. We ain't got no bears around here. That's all I know. It wasn't no bear.
What part of New York are you from?
Depoleville. It's around Thousand Islands area. More down towards, you know, Watertown. And
what's the population out there where you're at?
I really don't know there, sir.
How long have you lived where you're living?
It's called Depoleville. Been living here for about 8 years.
8 years. So is it a big town?
Not really. It's really small.
How many stoplights do you have?
About one.
One on the main drag going through town?
Yes, sir.
All right. I know what you're talking about then. Okay. What's the main industry there?
I think it would be construction because there's a lot of things going up.
Well, there's construction all over, Jimmy. I mean, what does the town strive on? What, you know, what's it noted for? Is it oil? Is it coal? Is it agriculture?
Well, not really. About 10 miles upward, there's Clayton, New York. There's St. Lawrence River up there. They got castles, everything.
Okay.
Tourists.
Are you married or single?
I'm single, sir.
Okay, all right, yeah. Well, let me ask you something. Do you hunt?
Yes, sir.
Is it a great area to hunt?
Yes, sir.
All right. Did you go hunting this year?
Yes, sir.
Were you lucky?
No.
Were you lucky, Jimmy?
No, sir.
You weren't lucky. Okay. So you didn't fill no tags then, huh?
No. Well, I saw a couple of doe go shot them.
You're talking about birds?
No, doe. No, deer.
Oh, okay. I thought you said dove. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Well, listen. Did you tell anybody about your encounter?
I told my good friend, Bill.
What'd she say?
Bill, he said that he wanted to come check it out with me, but I told him that he could just listen to the radio with me. And then I found out it was a website. So, how did you come use your phone?
Wow. Okay. But you didn't call the authorities or tell any other family members?
No, sir.
Did you go back to that area and look yourself?
Once. I walked through, but it had snow on the ground, and it's had a really hot weather down here. Like, yesterday it was snowing. I mean, snowed, like, tiny bit, but days before that, it was raining, and it was, like, 40 degrees. All the snow melted.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Really hot weather for winter.
Yeah. Well, listen, Jim, it sure was nice that you shared your story with us, and thank you for taking the time.
Yes, sir.
And just mute yourself out here. We got a lot more show here, and I'm sure you'll get informed about other things that's going on around the country, okay?
Okay.
Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, and Tom, remind Jim that we have a discussion at the end of the show. If you'd like to stay with, he can ask questions of some of these other people that are researching.
Did you hear that, Jim?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so then, in other words, just mute yourself out because you'll get a chance to ask questions to other people from their stories tonight, and they can do the same with you, okay?
Okay.
So stay with us and have your girlfriend, Bill, stay with us, too. Is Bill listening, too?
I don't know. He said he was going out to the barn to start up his wood stove. He should be in about 10 minutes.
Oh, well, good. Maybe if he's got some questions, maybe we can get them answered, too. Thanks so much again, Jim.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, that was Jim, ladies and gentlemen, telling us his stories out there in upstate New York. Interesting. Billy, let's go to commercial.
Okay, here we go.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back, Tom.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, you know, you hear that little snippet about Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. I mean, it was the seventh largest story in 2008. It rocked the Bigfoot world. There was just one guy on one team that had the balls enough to go out there and put their money up and see what it was all about. The thing that they didn't know out there was that we had our videographer with us, and he filmed everything. It's in this movie. It tells the story from A to Z. Without any further ado, what you need to do, if you don't have it in your catalog, you need to get it. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. It was Black Bigfoot Friday, August 15th, 2008, all because of this situation. And by the way, everybody out there, I asked you at the top of the hour, we got a new website, searchingforbigfoot.com. I want to hear your comments. Tell me what you think. I want you to go there. See if it's easily navigable. see if it's sexy and jazzy enough for you. Because I know now all the search engines will all be able to go to it. Before we had problems. Now I know that we're all in on them. We got Mozilla and Foxfire and MSN and Bing and Explorer and all the other nine yards. I'm getting privy to all this stuff now. So old school tomboy is getting up with it, folks. You know, I got to tell you a story. This next guest, Dave Ortiz, like Bill said, had to go do some rehearsing because in between his working, going to school, and playing in the band and Bigfoot researching, he's got to make a few pennies now and then, and how he does it is with his band. And they were rehearsing tonight, and they called him, and he had to go. But thank God, my brother from another mother out there in Arkansas is here and filled in for him. Let's go out and talk to him. Happy New Year there, my good brother from another mother, Rocky.
How are you doing, Tom?
Well, I got to tell you, son, I'm first of all, it's good to hear your voice, and as you know, we talk all the time, and thanks for the well-beings and you calling the team members and everything on New Year's and Christmas. And I know that as you were down for the count, everybody else was all sicked up one way or another. I got to tell you, the movie's coming along quite well. What'd you think of the trailer, by the way?
Well, I tell you, Tom, I broke my damn computer. My son's bringing his computer in, and we're going to try and get everything figured out. But I didn't get to see it all. That's why they don't let me touch computers.
So when you did get to see any of it on Pursuit, what did you think?
Well, actually, when I turned it on there, all I saw was a black screen, and then all of a sudden the computer quit again. That's why they don't let me have any. They don't let me around the computer or sharp objects.
And what about the jacket for the DVD? Did you get to see it?
Loved it.
Did you like it?
Yes, I did.
Pretty incredible, wasn't it?
It was good. I liked it.
Yeah, I got to tell you. This is going to be a first for me. And the things that are going back, it's still in post-production here. We should have a first cut of the new stuff with all the corrections and stuff by the 28th for sure. But I got to tell you, the people that have seen what we've got thus far are just jumping out of their seats and just saying, oh, my God, I can't wait until the thing is up and ready to view. Because I'll tell you, it is totally phenomenal. And your part that you played, the real part, just it's stunning, okay? It couldn't have been more real. Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who don't know and those of you who are just tuning in right now around the globe, this is my... became a brother, a part of my family over the past, what, 3-4 years now, Rock?
About 4, I think.
4 years, yeah. And, you know, it wasn't an easy situation getting up with this guy because he's been jacked around one way or another in the 7 days of Sunday. And, you know, we don't live around the corner from each other, and it's not cheap traveling today, but as many times as I've been out there with him and vice versa, we became friends. We trusted each other. And I don't think there's anything I wouldn't do for him or he wouldn't do for me, and that includes our team members also. And he's been out there with us through thick and thin of it all. And when you hear this story, when you see this story, and you see what this man went through, you are going to freak out.
Let me say something here, Tom.
What?
Let me say something here.
Sure.
All these people that call in and everything that haven't met you, I want them to understand that when I met Tom, I'm not the most trusted man in the world, and there's good reason for it. When this all came about in the first place, I just like he said, I got messed around in a big way. I got mohead thumped in a big way over all of this. And after I met Tom, I finally decided, we talked for a little while, and I finally decided to kind of come clean with him. And I wouldn't tell him, I didn't want the real name used. I wanted everybody to, I just, you know, kind of wanted to stay on the quiet side. Well, Tom, of everybody that I have met that knows anything about this, Tom is the only one that shot straight with me. If he said he was going to do something, he did it. If he said he wasn't going to do something, he didn't, which was the most important thing to me. And, yeah, he's pretty much my brother from another mother, and he's had my back, and I just want everybody to know, I want Tom to know that I appreciate so much everything that he's done, and the fact that he's done just exactly what he said he was going to do all the way through. And, you know, don't care what anybody else says, trust him with my life.
That means an awful lot to me, Rocky, and thank you from the bottom of my heart. You know, I've been super, super busy, you know, straight through Christmas, through now also, and Sci-Fi just filmed me yesterday. And if this thing comes through with the pilot, I'll tell you, it's going to be an incredible situation, and they just may see a Tom Biscardi and Searching for Bigfoot team on the air also on a weekly basis. But we'll see. I'm not going to say much of that until it happens. But I'll tell you what, when they see this movie, oh, my God, it's just going to blow everybody's mind. I have no doubt in my mind about that. I got to tell you the story, what happened to me today. I was with a conference call with a guy named Greg Long and Bob Barrows and Philip Morris, all these guys that were involved in that Patterson film that everybody's seen back in the 60s, the female one, you know. Well, as you know, we debunked it, and we made a movie on it called Hoax of a Century. Well, right now, these guys want to get together collectively, which there's going to be a press conference out on it, and let the world know that, hey, man, there's a lot of bad things going on out there, and somebody better step to the plate. And I don't want to get into it with too much detail because we may be doing a whole show on it, but you and I have talked about it, you know, with your experience, what you went through with the government and everything else and the threats and beatings and everything else. Well, let's kind of keep it on an up note right now, but let me ask you something. What's going on down there in Foreman? You heard anything more?
I haven't heard anything from Foreman, but it's been so damn cold that the phone wires may have froze up between here and there. It's been awful, and I haven't heard anything from BC. I've been meaning to call him and Chris and checking in with them, but I've been, me and the Swede has been out in the woods as often as we can, and I was telling Marco earlier that the other morning I got up and it was, I don't know, 16, 17 degrees, and I just had to pull a gun on myself to make myself not be a pussy and just, you know, go to the woods. Well, before I had the chance to really threaten myself much, the Swede came pulling up, and then I couldn't back out. But we got down there, and since it's turned so cold, things haven't been moving too awful much other than we got some hogs spotted, but that's nothing new. But we put some bait, I guess it was last week, we put a bunch of fruit up, hung it up in a tree, and since I got my south side cooler full of fruit stolen out there back in August, I decided that maybe it lacked fruit. Well, when we got out there to check it, the ground was just frozen solid. There's no way to make any kind of a print. The bottom of the sack was tore out. And, I don't think the bears have been out and around in this kind of stuff. We haven't seen any kind of a, other than hog sign deer, we haven't seen much of anything, but still, you know, 8 foot off the ground where we had the bottom of a toe sack tore out and all of our fruit gone. So we're hoping that the thing that stole my damn cooler is still in the area. And if that's the case, well, you know how we are. We're laying for it. Once we get started hunting something, it's just almost a sin for us not to go ahead and bring it in. So we're going to do our best to. We're going to do our best to get you a present.
Oh, that would be wonderful, I'll tell you. It really would. You know, holy mackerel! See, every time I get on a roll with you, then the red light comes out here on the studio and it's telling me, hey, you're overdue, blank, blank, blank. I'm 3 minutes overdue now already. We're going into somebody else's, well, holy mackerel, we're almost going into the next guy's interview, Stu. Listen, just mute yourself out here because there's going to be a lot of people asking you questions towards the end. I understand they have a 10-minute question and answering period on this new format that Marco's got going. Got to get these other guests in, but stay close. The next guy coming in is Chris from Arkansas. All right?
Oh, cool. All right, man.
All right, we'll talk to you soon within the next few minutes. So just mute yourself out, okay?
I'm out.
Okay, buddy, thanks. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my brother from another mother out there in Arkansas. We're going to stay in that same state. We're going to talk to Chris and discuss his continuing action that's going on in his area and revisit the pictures that he sent us last week. If you're on our website or if you have the thing that Marco has sent you, there's pictures 1 and 2. You might want to get on to those right now and take a look at what Chris sent us, and he'll give us a look at these tree formations. Wow. Chris, you out there? Marco, is Chris with us?
Yeah, he should be. Chris.
Oh, I apologize. I had it muted on my end, too. How you doing, Tom?
I'm well, Chris. I'm looking at these tree formations, son. They look pretty good. When did you
Me and my girl actually went out there, I'd say, about a week ago, you know, right before the show last week. And and we were walking back to the truck, and we walked right past it. I probably wasn't but 10 foot from it on the way to where we were going originally, and we walked right past it. I didn't even notice it. And then on the way back, she was like, look at this. And I was like, oh, wow. And I went over there, and the first thing I noticed, you know, it was an arch.
Yeah.
And I noticed that it was over something. And I still don't know what that is. It looks like an old casing for something like been on like a side of something, you know, had anything to do with electrical wise. Like it looks like the casing for a generator or something. And it's got dents on it, but it's old. You can tell it's been out there for a while.
No, I got to tell you, when I first saw it, it looked like an offering throne or table.
Yeah, I mean it. It,
you know what an
it
offering
stands out.
I'm trying to tell you what I'm talking about.
Oh no, I've never seen nothing else like that.
Well, do you know what an offering table or throne is?
Like for like natives?
Oh yeah, it's like an offering to something out in that area, whether it be fruit or a dead animal or something of that nature, and put it on this throne or this table. That's the first thing that came to mind when I saw this, Chris, and it just blew me away, and that's the reason why I want to ask you. So what's been going on out there?
Well, not too far from where I found that, I went and I put I got some Chewy Chips Ahoy cookies with Reese's peanut butter in it,
uh-huh.
And I put them up on small branches. It's probably about 6.5, 7 foot up, and you know, I'm not far from where Rocky is, so it's been real cold here, and I haven't even seen any hog prints where I'm at, and as close to the marsh as I am, I figured I'd been all over them, but I haven't even seen any of them here lately. But I put the cookies up about 7.5-8 foot up in the tree, you know, about as far as I could reach, getting my tippy toes. And I put them on branches that had forks, you know, so they'd be sturdy. The wind wasn't going to blow them off, but the branches were small enough that if a squirrel went to get on them, you know, the branch would just fall over and the cookie would fall off. Well, when I went back out there to check the next day, all my cookies were gone, but like Rocky said, the ground was frozen. So, I mean, it had been muddy, but the ground wasn't the right, you know, it wasn't right for getting good print. So I didn't get any
okay,
good
let
print,
me give
so.
You a hint. Let me help you out now. And everybody else out there, I hope you got your ears on, because this is Bigfoot Tracking 101. Do you got any sand anywhere?
Yeah, I can get a hold of some sand.
Okay. Now, you know that sand does not freeze over.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they've got the sand that does not freeze over, okay, because there's some kind of chemical or oils that are in it that makes it, it's like it's got kind of like an antifreeze in it, okay? And that might not be a bad idea. Put some of the antifreeze in the damn sand and mix it all up real good. And what you do is, around the areas that you're going to put that bait up high like that, clean it all up in that area, then lay that sand down like you're doing cement. And one of two things are going to happen. It's going to leave an indication where it stepped, and then when it steps out, you're going to see either five toes and a print, or you're going to see something that's all messed up, or whatever animal that passed through there, okay?
Right.
But it's just a word to the wise, and try it, okay? Try it out and see.
I sure will.
But it worked with us. So what's been going on down there? Anything at all?
Well, the newest cool thing that I think that I got is I've talked to I don't know how many people, you know, since I had my encounter, which before I had my encounter I had never heard of it, but since I had my encounter I've heard about and went and found these people and talked to them, people that have said they've seen a creature near that same area, even on the side of the road, an older lady, an older gentleman, and a guy who said that it was on his porch, beating on his porch. And that's the guy that when I talked to you originally, he said that he sent the blood off, and when he called the Wildlife Commission, they said that he didn't turn in any blood. They tried to act like it never happened. But I have a guy who said he was going to school one morning, and he was driving down that road, and he said he saw something standing behind a tree, and he stopped, and he went back, and he took a picture of it. So supposedly he's got the face of it. So the creature that everybody's been seeing around where I'm at, because the picture that I have is so far away, you can't tell any features. All you can see is something that's definitely standing up on the top of the hill.
So did you get a copy of this picture or see it that this guy has?
I am tracking this guy down. I'm excited. I know somebody that knows him, and I'm trying to get in touch with this guy right now to get a copy of this picture. But he said it was on the exact same road that I used to live on where I had my original encounter, not probably not even 250, 300 yards probably from where he took this picture, so.
This other older couple that you say that the creature came up on their porch and beat on their door, did you get a hold of them yet?
Yeah, I've talked to that guy in person. He seemed really believable. He said that the creature, he said it was late one night, everybody was in the bed, and he said that he lives in a double wide, and he said that he actually thought it was an earthquake or something, and he got up and ran, was running to the door by the time he realized that it wasn't, you know, it was just in one location, that something was outside beating on his trailer. He said he went outside on his porch with a 9mm, and he said that there was a creature standing there covered in hair, turned and looked at him, and he said when he turned and looked at him, he said he took a step towards him, and he said he unloaded the entire clip, and he said him and his daddy went out with their bloodhound. He said they tracked blood for 200 yards down to the woods, and it started raining, So they went back to the house, they collected up some blood, and they turned it in to the Arkansas Wildlife Game and Fish Commission, and they said to give them 30 days or so and then contact them back, and they would tell them, you know, what type of blood it was, what it was, and then when he called them back, they tried to act like it never happened. And then there was an older lady, you know, around on the same road. She lives on the same road. She said that she called the police. This is how I found out about this, is because she actually called the police. She said that she saw somebody hiding behind a tree, and when the car went by, it ran across the road faster than anything she'd ever seen move, and it was bigger than anybody she'd ever been around. And she was probably 65, 70 years old. And then an older gentleman who was probably around the same age, he said that he was nailing something into his porch, and he said he heard something knock back, and he turned around and looked, and he saw something moving through the wood. And he said all he saw was like the back of something's head and the shoulders, he said, but it was covered in hair. But that was, and the road that I'm talking about, it's probably not even a half mile outside of city limits, and it's only probably about 2 miles long from one end of the road to the other end of the road. It's only probably about 2 miles long.
Well, let me tell you something, son. I mean, you're blowing my mind here. Kudos to you, because, my gosh, since I talked to you, you've had a lot of shit going on. Now, look here. Here's what I need for you to do. When we get off this phone, I need you to get a hold of Marco and get me that man's phone number and name and tell him I'm going to be calling him. I mean, let me finish.
The guy
now.
That shot at it?
You what?
Are you talking about the guy that shot at it?
Yeah, I want to talk to him. That's right. And know what? I'm getting my jollies here listening to this story. Marco Bill, when I see you, I'm going to take a cat of nine tails and whip your ass, because how come you didn't tell me about all this shit going on? My God. Man emptied a whole nine shells in one of these creatures. And Rocky, if you knew about this, you and I are going to tangle some sweat. I can't believe this, man.
You missed all the shows, Tom.
What?
You missed all the shows.
The coolest thing about the shooting incident, and this comes to my investigative eye, the gentleman that told me about him seeing the creature when he was knocking on his porch also told me, and if you go back to when the gentleman said that the creature was, that he shot at the creature, you go back to when he said it happened, and then you go back to the other part of this guy's story, he said that he heard that one night there was something screaming so loud that he came outside his house, and so did the neighbors. They actually drove down to his house to see if everything was okay because it was so loud. And this was before I lived on the road, and I asked him, you know, when was it? And he told me, and then I went back and I checked dates on this when this guy said he shot at it. When he said he shot at it, the yells, the screams happened about a week after this guy supposedly unloaded a full 9mm clip into a creature. So, I mean, my theory is that either it died and they were mourning and they were screaming for it to death, or something along those lines. Because, I mean, the sightings haven't stopped.
Okay, Chris, listen to me. Listen up. Does my brother know about this?
I don't know. I told this part about this when the person that would probably know about all this that I'm telling you right now would probably be Jim Dawson, because I told him about all this. This was stuff that I was doing, finding out and checking into even before he was coming down. So
okay, how far are you away from Rocky?
Probably like 4 hours.
Okay, all right. You do me this favor. I remember you now. Because I remember I sent out Jim Dawson out there to see you, okay? I need you to get a hold of Marco, get me all the contact, all your contact information, and get me the contact information for that guy, because I'm coming out on some final stuff maybe at the end of the month or the beginning of next month, and I want to put it on a schedule to meet all these people.
Cool.
Wait a minute. Rocky, can you come on? Can we get Rocky on, Marco?
Yeah.
Hey, Tom, I got my map out now.
Okay, good. Do you know where he lives?
Rocky, I live in El Dorado, Arkansas.
Okay. No, I know where El Dorado is.
Okay, you know where it's at?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to call you after the show, and the same thing, I'll have you on with me, Chris. You guys have just blown my mind, man. I mean, we got some more guests here, and I want to make sure we get them on, and we'll all talk at the end. So you guys just stay with me, okay? Let's get this next guest on. Let's get out there to Virginia, talk to my other good buddy, Anthony. Happy New Year, Anthony. You out there?
I'm here, Tom.
You got to forgive me, Anthony. I know we got a few minutes. Well, we finished up your time, but we'll get you on
That's
here
okay.
now anyway. Have you been listening
right.
to this?
I sure have.
Have you heard it before? Because I haven't.
No, I haven't heard it.
I know. It's blowing my mind, man. And, yeah. and I'm thinking to myself, wow, I'm the host of the show, and I didn't know this is going on. And I got two of my boys out there from Arkansas, and I know that right now Rocky's got a Woody because he got his map out. Well, first of all, before we get back into that and have this forum meeting, why don't you tell me what's going on real quick by you?
Real quick, I got some new information as well. I sent the pictures to Marco Bill earlier, and there's a new there's an old substation that has been newly expanded, okay? And what happened was I just happened to travel a little bit down the right-of-way where the power lines were coming in, and just to see if there was anything in that area, and I just happened to notice that, you know, a lot of TP formations, you know, quite a bit, you know. And, you know, it was exciting, you know, I know they've been there. I don't know, because it was raining, I couldn't tell if they were new or old. But I turned my truck around and I drove back. I stumbled upon a pile of deer, and I mean literally a pile. I counted five pairs of ears that were just torn apart, you know.
Well, I'm looking at those pictures that you sent in, and ladies and gentlemen, if you want to take a look here at our website here, BigfootLive.com, you'll see what we're talking about. Now, it looks like they had themselves a skinning party because I'm looking at all those beer cans. See those beer cans?
Yeah.
What did they do? Did you them out there? Or did, what do you think happened out there?
I'm thinking I know that you know, that's private property back there, and I know that you know, during the deer season was over. I know there was hunters back there. I'm thinking that they might have. I mean, nobody hangs out back there. But I'm thinking that they might have got a hold of some garbage because it was not a home, not too far away. And,
All right. Well, it all stands to reason. I'm with you.
Yeah.
All right, that's my first guess. We've got you on the air, and we've got Chris on the air, and we've got Rocky on the air. Jim, are you still with us, too, from New York?
Now, Jim dropped off. His cell phone battery is probably dying.
Sorry to hear that. Okay, well, we got three of the other good. Are we going to talk to Ben or what?
We've got – no, Ben is from last week. I just left that up there so people could listen to the to Howell.
Okay.
All
right.
So we got
Chris. Have an open forum here until the next 8 minutes. And does anybody have any questions for Chris, Rocky, or myself, or Marco? Because we've lost Jim and his battery went. Let me start it off. I don't know how you're doing this, Bill, but let's.
Well, basically, I ask usually a couple of questions of interest if anybody wants to discuss. A particular point of a point.
Okay, well let me ask the first question because I'm still in tuned with Chris's situation here. Chris, when did you talk to this guy last?
It's been a while, Tom. It's probably been. I mean, I got his story good, and I took some notes of it, and then and the phone that I had that had his number and Jim's number and. All the original numbers that I had, I don't have that phone anymore. That phone, it was an iPhone, and it got demolished. It had an accident. But I still remember the guy's name and where he lived. So, I mean, I can get back in touch with him. I'm sure he wouldn't mind retelling the story again. I think the main problem that, because I told him when the last time I talked to him, I told him that Jim Dawson was probably going to want to talk to him anyway when he came down. The person that I had probably the least amount of contact with was the older lady, the one that said that she saw something standing behind the tree, and then when the car crossed, it went on ahead and ran across the road. I had no idea, you know, that there had been so many people that supposedly saw Bigfoot around this area. Supposedly there's another guy that's got a picture
Wait, let's stay in tune and focused on this one right here, okay?
Okay.
I appreciate you doing your due diligence with everybody else, and here's what I need to know. What does this guy do for a living?
He's a contractor. And his, I want to say that his daddy was even on the city council.
How old of a fella is he?
I say he's probably in his older, late 30s, early 40s.
Okay. Is he married? Does he have children?
I believe so. We didn't get into that much detail on the conversation, but I believe he's married. Now, the children part I'm not sure of. But
did you go to his home or talk to him on the phone?
I talked to him on the phone. I've seen his house. I went out there to try to talk to him, and he wasn't home, but I talked to him on the phone.
Okay, so how soon can you get up with this guy and get me his phone number?
I can try to have it tomorrow. It won't take me much to try to get back in contact with him.
All right. That sounds fair enough. Rocky, you got any questions for Chris?
I was looking at the map here. I'm seeing El Dorado probably, I don't know, 150 miles southeast of Foreman, where me and the Swede went the last time. Yeah, it's about four hours from my house.
So that's about the same from Foreman to you, also, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a little bit further. It's in the mid south part of the state.
I'm almost in Louisiana where we're at, but we're at the northern part of El Dorado is where I'm doing all this. If you look at El Dorado on the map, and then if you find Morningstar Road and 19th Street.
I don't have that good map.
Okay. Well, it's just right. It's just directly north, basically, of the city limits of El Dorado.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. I got to
look. I'd appreciate. Don't talk directions and roads and things on the air.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
That's good. I don't know what time in February. I got some boys coming out. Rocky, Springdale is close to you?
Yeah, it's next. It's just it's in the city north of us.
That's the one I stay in? That's the
yeah,
city, right?
That's where you stayed last
okay,
time.
Okay, yeah. Okay, I know where it's at now. All right. Well, I got some business owners out there that I think I talked to you about it, that we're going to take them out there, and we're going to take them to both of these places. We're going to take them to Foreman and where Chris is. Of course, you and Sweet will be there with us. I didn't know. I got to tell you straight up, ladies and gentlemen, that all this action was going on there. But I'm out doing something else, I guess. But that's okay. We know about it now, and let's get to the bottom of it, because I'll tell you what, I think that this could be worth a hell of a lead.
I don't think it would be worth it.
What do you think, Chris?
I mean, Tom, I've been thinking ever since Jim came out here, and he took me out there and he showed me these tree formations, and we got that part of the woods where I saw all of this, and he was like, not only do I think you have one creature around here, you probably have a whole family of them. Now my whole aspect of thought is broad. Now I've been trying to figure out, did they move during hunting season? I believe wholeheartedly that in this area, that getting close to something would not be difficult. I mean, I've had whistlebacks, I've had tree knocks at me, I've had tree knocks at turns. So I mean, I know that they'll get close. Now I've never seen one during the daylight where I could actually get facial features. The closest I got was probably 70 yards away, and it was moving. And that's the only time I've seen it during the daytime. But I mean, I know that it can be that you can get close to one. I know you can.
Well, you know what? As positive that you are, that just turns me on to no end. And I'm telling you, I know my brother Rocky, he's got a double Woody now. Shit. This is just blowing me away. All right, fair enough. You got me. All right? You got us.
All right, you want me to contact Swede?
Yeah. We're going to do it. We got to get this going right away. Plan on it being all taken down and going down there on next month. And at the same point in time, please give Marco Bill at the end of the show your phone number and everything, and let's get this thing in the works, okay?
He's already got all that.
He do? Okay. All right. Fair enough. Listen, where does the hour go? Where does the time go, ladies and gentlemen? I don't know, but I'll tell you this. It's been a great hour. And thanks to you, Chris, and thanks to Rocky, and thanks to Marco Bill all the time. I'm indebted to him with my life. Where would we be without him? And by the way, I want your feedback on our website, searchingforbigfoot.com, ladies and gentlemen. I need to hear it from you. Let me know.
You got it.
All right. Kudos and salutations. Till next time, America.
Good night, everyone.
Go.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a goal and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legends, tales, and facts.